Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News, and every Tuesday I am joined by Charles T. Hamilton to break down a potential target for the Warriors this offseason. We call it Target Tuesday, and today we are taking a look at Iowa State guard Tyrese Haliburton and if the Warriors should consider taking him in the upcoming draft. We'll talk about his strengths and weaknesses and then wrap up by talking about his potential fit with the Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I've been talking for quite a while on this show about Tyrese Haliburton, why I think he's such a great prospect in this draft, Charles, but before I get into my spiel, because I've said it quite a bit already on this show, you and I have talked about it a little bit, but this is the Tyrese Haliburton episode. What stands out to you about Haliburton?
Well, positionally, it's definitely a need. Point guard, backup point guard. He does have positional versatility as well. So you could have him on the floor without the ball in his hands, but it's someone who could handle running the offense outside of basically Steph and Draymond, which is pretty much all they have at the moment, at least all that you trust so far. Jordan Poole, will still wait and see what happens with him. But right now it's Steph and Draymond and no one else really. So he would come in, fill a need. He's also got good size for a point, or good height and length, kind of slender, but still at about 6'5", 180. He can defend pretty well right now. Obviously going to need to add some strength, but he's just well-rounded, I think, is the main thing. Good court vision, good passing, good handling, all the things that you would want out of a backup point guard and potentially, you know, a guy who could take over eventually.
Look, I think that that's all that's – yes, he fits the perfect position for the Warriors. You look at what he can do with his length at 6'5", with a 6'8 wingspan. There are some size issues there, but overall he could play anywhere between, I think, 1 through 3, and that bodes well for somebody who needs to play next to Steph and Clay. And you just, if you're looking for a guy, if you're the Warriors, you're looking for a guy who can walk in and play right away, positional fit really matters, right? And if he's got this ability to play positions 1 through 3, well, then that just unlocks a lot of different combinations and gives Steve Kerr the ability to get him on the floor. But what I love about Haliburton is just when you watch these guys in this draft class and you're going through film and doing these things, his basketball feel, his basketball IQ, his maturity, whatever you want to call it, is so much more developed than anybody else in this draft. And he is a sophomore, but he's a young sophomore. I think he's only 20 years old right now. So he's not that – he's not. We're not talking about Obi Toppin here, who's already 22 or anything like that. Like, he's still young. He's relatively a late bloomer, and yet he has this just innate feel for the game that I don't think you could take for granted, especially if you're looking for somebody with a really high upside. I think that when we talk about high upside, we so often get so entrenched in 40 times in vertical leaps and you know, wingspans and size, and is this guy 220 pounds, 6'7"? Yes, great. He's got a high ceiling, but I look at guys who just have shown not only this feel for the game, but market improvement year over year. And that to me is what signifies a high ceiling, is because if you're making improvements already from high school to college and within years of college and all these things, that leads me to believe that you can still get better from than where you're at right now. And there's enough there to work with. He's going to be able to get on the floor right away wherever he ends up because he's a good spot-up shooter. He's a good playmaker. So he could just do stuff on the floor. And I'll just say it again. I'm watching the film with him, and he just looks like an adult out there, right? And you can't take that for granted.
Yeah, even though he would come in as a point guard, that would be his position. He, you know, can handle the offense, handle the ball, but also with, if you do believe in his shooting, which he definitely has shown in college that he can score at all three levels, then he can also play off the ball, solid spot up shooter. I mean, 42% from three in those 2 years at Iowa State. So it is one of the things we do when we look at the draft and just free agents, any player really, is we try and focus on what they can't do instead of what they can do, because that's way more important than what they can't do, in my opinion. And I think we kind of overdo it, where if you look at Tyrese Halliburton, he's a point guard with a great feel, great IQ, 15 points a game, 82% from the free throw line, you know, 42% from three, solid defensively. Like, what, because he doesn't have a 44-inch vert, you know, people aren't as high on him. So I think he's a good prospect, a good player, and he's definitely in that group of players that, if the Warriors keep the number 2 overall pick, should be in consideration.
I had Jonathan Charks on from The Ringer like a couple months ago, and I asked him about Halliburton, and he did a huge feature profile on Halliburton going into this season, so really before the season was even played. And he talked with, I think it was a former teammate, and that teammate told Charks, Halliburton's the smartest guy I've ever played with. And you hear stuff like that all the time when you talk to people about Halliburton, and you just know that in interviews and stuff like that, it's going to come off well. And I think that's why you see him slowly creeping up draft boards right now, is because you do have a lot of scouts and front offices talking with Halliburton during this process, and they're realizing, like, this guy's the real deal, and the production is there. And when you, like you said, you focus on what is there and what he can do versus what he can't do. So what? He's 175, like, whatever. The dude produces, and when you compare that to other people, is he a perfect prospect? No, but you got to compare him to this draft class, right? And there's so many guys, specifically at the top of this draft, who just haven't really been that productive. They're kind of all coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? And Halliburton is not coulda, woulda, shoulda. Halliburton has done it. I think he is this draft's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he is this draft's Tyler Hero. In other words, I think he's a guy who is not going to leap off the screen for you with athleticism or vertical time, or vertical leap or 40 time or anything like that. He's just a solid dude who knows what to do with the ball in his hands, knows how to play within a team concept. And those guys, you know, in the case of Gilgeous-Alexander and Hero, went late in the lottery, but in really good drafts. And you look at what they're doing for their respective teams right now, and they are building blocks. I mean, Gilgeous-Alexander was the centerpiece of the Paul George trade. Tyler Hero is like a building block for the Miami Heat right now, alongside Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. I think Halliburton in a weaker draft is going to go higher than those guys, but could have a similar type of impact for his team and have a similar type of outlook for his career. And so all of the gushing on Halliburton aside, we are going to talk about his weaknesses next, but let's first talk about Rock Auto. With an ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything that you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. You can't beat that, and you can't beat their prices either. That you walk into an auto parts store, and so often you can be taken advantage of. If you're not a pro, if he doesn't look like or you sound like you know what you're talking about, that's not going to be the case at rockauto.com, where prices are always reliably low and without the markup that you find from these salespeople. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. On tomorrow's episode of Locked On Warriors, I'll talk about why Draymond Green should play center more often next season. But Charles, let's talk about Tyrese Halliburton's weaknesses. We went over the strengths in gushing fashion. The weaknesses, I think, are pretty obvious. He weighs 175 pounds wet. He's not the best athlete in this draft. And then there's a few other things, too. But what are your weaknesses that you're listing off?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of nailed the big ones, is how slender he is. And that's something that he can work on and improve. But, you know, what, is he ever going to be a 220-pound defensive stopper? No, he's going to be pretty small. I mean, you could see maybe the progress that Steph has made in his career to project maybe where Tyrese Halliburton could end up. But, you know, he's never going to be huge. And also that there is a lack of athleticism. And those two things will limit his ability as a primary defender, an on-ball defender. Right. We've talked about his IQ, and that can make up for things. But the main thing with that lack of size or lack of bulk and lack of athleticism. That's going to be the main places where it hurts. And then, you know, it can hurt also when trying to get to the rim and taking contact and things like that. But they're, you know, those are the main problems or main areas where those deficiencies would hurt him.
And you wonder, you look at his frame and you wonder how much more he could pack on, right? I mean, this is a slender guy. And I think one of the comps with him is a guy like Lonzo Ball, who is not a super athlete either, but has managed to carve out a role as this elite playmaker and 3-and-D type of guy. I mean, Lonzo's shot has definitely come along since he was a rookie. And he's one of the better on-ball defenders, especially at the point guard spot in the league. But he also weighs 15 to 20 pounds more than Haliburton, despite having like similar, you know, length and height and stuff. So if Haliburton can pack on another 15 to 20 pounds within an NBA, you know, workout room and stuff, then I think you start to worry a little bit less about that point of attack issue defensively. But even at his size right now at 175, I mean, you're even the smallest point guards in the league are going to be able to come at you a little bit and throw a shoulder in you. And that could be a concern. So defensively, that's the main issue there, even though I would still bet on him figuring it out, even if he's never Lonzo Ball good or Marcus Smart good or, you know, whatever, like that level of defender at the point of attack. I at least expect him to try really hard and know where to be. And so I think he bottoms out as an average defender. I don't think, despite the size issues, he's going to be a bad defender.
Well said. Yeah, it limits his upside, but that does not mean that he's going to be a bad defender, a Harden, whatever. But yeah, it does limit how, you know, like you said, it means he's not going to be Marcus Smart or Lonzo Ball or, you know, Andre Iguodala or anything like that as far as his defensive ability goes. And then the one that is, you know, my main concern, as you know, I like the 3-point shot, and he did shoot great in college. He, you know, almost 43% in those 2 years, not a huge sample size, just over 100 makes. And the shot, it's herky jerky and weird. And it doesn't mean, I mean, the most important thing is whether it goes in or not, but there have been examples of guys who can make the shot in college and struggle in the pros. I mean, Lonzo Ball is one of the guys you brought up. He shot 41% in the 1 year at UCLA with that weird kind of around the world jump shot he has. And even though this was his best year in the pros, Lonzo shot 37.5% from three this year. His first 2 years were at 30% and then 33%. So it just, sometimes it doesn't translate. Sometimes the weird, you know, motion can hurt a player, but again, if it works, it works. Well, but that is something that I'm worried about.
Well, it's a good worry, because as a spot-up shooter, he's very good. And those numbers mostly reflect him as a spot-up shooter. But if he's going to be a guy who has the ball in his hands primarily, then it does limit, and we saw this at Iowa State, it sort of limits what he can do off the dribble, right? And if he's got this stiff, kind of weird form, then you do wonder if he'll ever be able to become an off the dribble type of offensive player, or if he's going to be limited to basically, you know, Rajon Rondo type stuff, where when the ball is in his hands and he's dribbling, you kind of know he's about to get rid of it, right? And so you could play off of him. Whereas when he's playing off the ball, now he's just trying to get around screens and he becomes a shooter, which, look, you like the versatility, but if you're the Warriors and you're looking for, or if you're anybody and you're picking at the top of this draft and you're looking for a future all-star, future building block, you know, face of the franchise type guy, then I do think that there's a ceiling there with Haliburton if he can't quicken up, if he can't hasten up the form, the shooting form, and become a better off the dribble type of player, type of shooter. And then my other issue with him offensively is I like that he's got the floater game. I like that he's got the footwork in the lane, and that's stuff I didn't mention at the top in the first segment, but he does tend to default back to those things and shy away from getting contact at the rim. And, you know, that's just, if you're going to be an on-ball player, if you could draw fouls, it's such a big thing. So he's not great at throwing his shoulder into guys, inviting contact into his finishes. And then along with that, I think that he can afford to tighten up his dribble a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think if, when, and so I guess all of this kind of ties together, right? Is that as far as being an on-ball threat, he needs to develop that jump shot a little bit more off the dribble, tighten his handle, and then learn to finish in through people at the rim.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. That's one of the main things, and that again goes to his part of it is his lack of bulk, lack of size, yeah, lack of strength that comes with being, you know, 175 pounds. So it's something that he could potentially improve upon, but it's a concern coming in. And you know, even if he doesn't improve upon those things, is he still good enough in other aspects that you can live with it? You know, that's one of the questions is, you know, you get to the draft is you have to project what you think a player is going to be. And if they can't get that, do you still get enough out of them to make it worth the pick? But I mean, you nailed it with the being afraid of contact at the rim, which is also, that's a skill, is being able to get fouled and go to the line. He's an 82% free throw shooter. So, I mean, that is a weapon that he should be able to utilize. And, you know, we just didn't see a ton of that in college.
We'll talk about his potential fit with the Warriors after this. If you haven't already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors automatically every day. All right, we talked about the strengths. We talked about the weaknesses, Charles. Tyrese Haliburton, he's on the board. The Warriors are picking number two. How do you feel if they make him the pick over there? What do you think about his fit with Golden State?
I think the fit would be good. I'd be okay with the pick at two. There's potential to maybe get him later. But if what they, you know, heard and feel is that, you know, that you have to take him at two, that other teams want him, I'd be okay with it. The potential is there to be a perfect fit. I think a big part of that is the jumper, the three-point shot, and also tighten it up at all at you know, the mid-range levels as well, off the dribble. But even if that doesn't progress, doesn't get better, etc., he'd still be a useful player. I think it's a pretty high floor for this kind of player. Now, would a backup point guard who can't shoot a three and you know, can't shoot really at all, that would still fill a need, but I don't think would be the primary need. Now, if he progresses to be kind of what we both believe he can be and where he could go, it would be a pretty perfect fit, in my opinion, because of his positional versatility. You could have him on the floor with Steph and Clay if these things, you know, progressed. If he gets better from three, if that shot is real, or if he needs to fix it. And then defensively, you could have him on the floor with Steph, Clay, Draymond, and Wiggins potentially. So there's potential there to be a perfect fit. There's also potential to be a fine fit, an okay right. one.
Right, which is not bad. I mean,
yeah.
The story on Haliburton is that his floor is really high, even if you're not a big believer in his ceiling. I love the fit. It's one of the reasons why he's been anywhere between two and four on my draft board since this process started. You see him easily being able to – if you think about what the Warriors need, they need playmaking and they need defense and they need versatility. And he is all three of those things, right? He checks every one of those boxes. And he's not taking anything off the floor for them either, right? Like, even we talked about his limitations as far as size and his ability off the dribble and finishing and all these things, but those aren't huge priorities for this Warriors team either, right? They've got guys who could do those things. They've got Draymond Green who can create, and Steph Curry who can do all those things, and Klay Thompson who can guard the bigger guys, and Andrew Wiggins who can do the same thing. Like, they've got Pascal and Wiggins who can both finish through contact and get at the rim. Like, they're not going to be wanting for a lot if they do indeed draft Haliburton, but he also provides a lot. Like, I think he can walk in and be a plus defender right away at the NBA level. I think he can come in and help space the floor. I think he could be a really good secondary playmaker for this team. I've heard him more, like, I know his position is point guard, but in a starting lineup, I've heard, you know, scouts say that he's probably in a starting unit. You're probably going to need him to play with a main playmaker. Mm-hmm. Let him play more as a secondary playmaker, ideally. But as far as leading your second unit, he could be very good in that regard, right? And he's not of a traditional point guard size, so you're not getting all of the limitations that you typically get with a traditional point guard, which goes back to what I'm saying. Like, those guys tend to take stuff off the table. They tend to have glaring weaknesses, whereas Haliburton just doesn't. So teams aren't going to be able to attack him, whether he's in the starting unit or the second unit. And if he is in the second unit, Now all of a sudden you still have a guy who can lead that second unit offense. And in the, for the case of Halliburton and his fit with the Warriors potentially, I think that would only help him along with his development. Imagine telling Halliburton, hey, we need you to develop as an off-ball shooter, but you don't need to do that in your minutes alongside Steph. We need you to do that when Steph's off the floor and you're going against other backups. That would be much easier just for his own development.
Yeah, and, you know, I bring up the shot. That's kind of the best-case scenario. Like, if he, you know, is able to develop off the dribble, but if he's his shooting tops out as a spot-up shooter, that is still a major bonus for this Warriors team and something that they need, whether it's from him or someone else. They need more shooting outside of Steph and Klay. And if he can just be a spot-up shooter above, you know, instead of a major creator off the dribble, like, that would still be a major asset for this team.
And I likened him to Tyler Hero in the first segment. And I actually think contextually it works too if the Warriors were to take him. Like, the Heat don't need Tyler Hero to be Giannis. They don't need him to be a future all-star MVP caliber player. They just need him to be a really good complementary building block type piece next to their two stars, right? And the Warriors are in a similar situation where they've got their three all-stars. And whoever they take could just be a complementary building block type guy. He could be even Kawhi Leonard his first 2 years in San Antonio, or his first few years in San Antonio, as opposed to Kawhi Leonard who blossomed into MVP. Like, if you just get the first version of Kawhi, that's still a good player if you've got your core already in place. I think if I'm the Warriors and I take Tyrese Halliburton, I'm always going to be happy with the pick. The biggest question mark to me would be the opportunity cost. Did the next Kawhi Leonard, future multi-time All-Star, whoever, go 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever picks later, right? Mm-hmm. That's if you're the Warriors, the question you need to be asking yourself. Is there somebody on the board who we think has that much potential where we wouldn't take Halliburton? If we think it's Denny Avia, who we talked about a couple weeks ago, if we think it's like a Devin Vassell or whoever that's on the board at that point, is it worth it to roll the dice on that player because we think the payoff could be so much higher, or do we just go ahead and take Halliburton and just hope that he makes maybe one or two all-star games, but is overall just a really solid piece for us?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the major questions for the Warriors in this draft. Do you draft on upside, or are you looking to maximize this window that you have with Steph and Klay, where you're drafting on upside on a guy who can maybe be the next face of the franchise in a couple years, but the immediate impact isn't as great as a guy like Halliburton? And one of the things that's interesting to me, like I said, I'd be fine with them taking him at 2, but at this moment, again, draft is still about 2 months away. There's potential for them to be able to trade down and get him and, you know, collect more assets, which is also something I think the Warriors should really be looking at this season with, you know, the potential of teams being conservative as far as their spending and, you know, the uncertainty of the NBA for the next year or so and the salary cap, et cetera. I think the Warriors have an opportunity to be aggressive and gather as many assets as possible, but also gather good players who potentially you're either playing with them and they're helping you win, or you have these assets to potentially make the next move. So, I mean, that's one of the things I like about him too, is he's a damn good player, but I think you could also, you know, grab another asset trying to get him.
Yeah, I said I have him in my, you know, top 4 or 5 typically, but I've seen mock drafts have him outside of the top 10. And my sense with the Warriors is that if they did draft Tyrese Halliburton, it would not be at number 2, that they would have had traded back for him. And I think you can do that. I think you could trade back quite a ways to get him, because as much as I think Halliburton is the perfect fit as far as point guards in this draft is concerned for the Warriors, there's other teams that would much rather take LaMelo Ball or Killian Hayes you know, above a Halliburton. And so if you could trade back before those, like after those players are taken and Halliburton's still on the board, if that's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, wherever that is, it could be worth Golden State's while if they are able to pick up some other assets too, where, yeah, maybe Halliburton isn't your future face of the franchise, but in whatever assets you pick up, maybe those are the assets that help you go get that sort of player.
Yeah, and it just depends on the drafting philosophy of the Warriors and of other teams. You know, we see picks where it's, you know, how did Tyler Hero go, what was he, 13 or 14? And, you know, Draymond at 35 and all the great picks we've seen over the years. And again, it's focusing on what a player can't do instead of what they can do. And then the philosophy of, well, I'm drafting on upside. I'm drafting on best case scenario and not what I'm getting right now. So it's a really intriguing just off season, but specifically draft for the Warriors to see where they, what they do and what their philosophy is going to be this draft.
That's right. I guess we'll find out. Charles, thanks so much as always for joining me. Listeners, remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to Rock Auto for sponsoring today's episode. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening and stay safe.